Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we may be dealing with one of the missing ingredients of modern Christianity as we have come to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And I'm talking about the requirement for holiness. You don't hear much about that anymore. That God requires people to be holy. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." This obviously is written to Christians, so it might be more accurate to say God requires holiness of his people, as indeed he does. And yet, the first statement is not entirely erroneous, because God requires holiness of everyone, and it is our failure to meet that requirement that constitutes our sinfulness before God and is the basis of our condemnation. God requires holiness, but we instead pursue sinfulness. But once we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, then we have a new ability to holiness that we did not have before we were born again. And we have a new requirement, a new expectation of holiness from the God who saved us and has given us his Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit to indwell us in order that we might live lives of holiness, never perfect in this world because our sanctification is not complete until we die. But there is this expectation, there is this requirement that we will pursue holiness here upon the earth. And yet, how often do you hear that message proclaimed? How often do you find Christians who are striving for that goal? But it is here in the Bible, and therefore we need to take it seriously. So we will continue studying it on this Tuesday, May 14. Thank you for joining us, and many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us on this station. Holiness required for God's people. Of course, it all is predicated, as we've already seen, upon the holiness of God. As he who called you is holy. That's where it begins. God is holy, and therefore he requires holiness in his people. We who have been made sons of God are to be like our Father. That's what constitutes one of the characteristics of the father-son relationship, is a likeness. Sometimes we say of people, you look just like your father. Many, many times, people will look at one of our daughters and say, you look just like your mother. It hasn't been all that long ago that our youngest daughter filled in for a couple of days at a place where a number of people in our church work. And they needed someone to basically just hold down the reception desk for a couple of days. And she was available, and so she did that. She's never worked there before. And an employee walked by who knew my wife but hadn't seen our daughter since she was just a child. So he didn't recognize her as the daughter, but he said to somebody in the break room, that lady out there at the front desk looks just like Marty Barkman. And the other person said, it's her daughter. They look alike. And that's the idea, that we are to be holy. Why? Because God is holy. We're to look like God. Again, oh, how far short we fall. But there is this expectation that the people of God are going to be different from the world, in that the people of the world are going to look like their father, the devil. You are of your father the devil, said Jesus, and the lusts of your father, or the desires of your father, you will do. So, those who are not the people of God are going to look like their father, and those who are the people of God are going to look like their father. But what we have in our day is a whole host of people claiming to be the children of God, but living like and looking like the other one, looking like the devil. They look more like the children of the devil than they do the children of God, and that doesn't seem to bother them. They don't seem to be making any strides in the direction of becoming less like the world and more like God. And, in fact, many of them will even argue with you when you raise this concern that God's children are supposed to be like God. They're supposed to be becoming like Jesus Christ. They're supposed to be becoming less like the world and more like Christ. And immediately when you say that, somebody says, "You are a legalist! You are a legalist!" And I would just simply say to you, who would reply that way, then what do you think this text means? 1 Peter 1:15, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Now, what does that look like? Here's the command, but what does that look like? Well, I think we can find that as we snoop around in the text. We know, in the first place, that it's the exact opposite of our former lusts in the mold of this world. In verse 14, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." In other words, when you're saved, you are to be different than you were before you were saved. So those of you who are crying, "Legalist, legalist," just please explain to me what is different. What do you think is the difference that Christ makes in the lives of those that he saves? What about your life is different now that you are a child of God than it was before you became a child of God? We are told here that our standard of conduct is no longer the world, that is our community, but it is now God himself. It is not that we just have begun to practice a new religion, but it is that we are living differently than we were before. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. And that is the requirement of new covenant believers, saved by grace. But if you think grace means that no change is required, then you don't understand grace. What grace means is God saves you by grace, to be sure. That means it's his grace, not your works. But the grace that saves you is the grace that enables you to become like your Heavenly Father. The new standard is not the old covenant laws that were mediated by Moses, as wonderful as they were in their place, but it is God himself. "As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." God becomes the standard. You say the standard's too high. That's what the standard is. It is very high. And as I've already said, none of us are going to attain it until we leave this flesh behind in the grave and rise to be with the Lord, and then we'll be entirely sanctified, and then we'll understand more of what this holiness is. But we are to be moving in that direction now. "As he who called you unto salvation is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." God is holy, therefore you are to be holy, because God is your Father, and you are to be like God if you are his child. And if you aren't, then what makes you think you are his child? If you have no desire to be, then what makes you think you are his child? If you object to the very requirement and say, that's not required of me, I don't accept that requirement, don't preach that to me, don't lay that requirement on me, well, pray tell me what makes you think you are a child of God. Dear friend, close association with God awakens us to a need for holiness. And that means we go to our knees in prayer to ask God to help us in this regard and to show us what it means to be holy. It means that we go to the Scriptures and study them to find out what that means, what is required of us in this holiness. We are told to be conformed to Jesus Christ, the man. This holiness, when we think about being holy like God, we sometimes get lost in the inability to conceive of the eternal, omnipresent, omnipotent, majestic, thrice holy, invisible God. But that's why the Bible tells us we are to be conformed to the Son of God, to the image of His Son, is the way that it's put in Romans 8:29. And that means Jesus Christ the man. God came down. God became man. God revealed Himself to us in flesh. God came down to earth and lived as a man and died as a man. And in living as a man, He showed us what holiness in men and women is like. It's being like Christ was, who walked upon the earth. That's the standard. You don't have to try to pierce the blazing light of God's holiness and get somehow to God the Father upon the throne invisible to our eyes in heaven and say, I'm supposed to be like Him, but I can't really understand what that's like. No, what you have is God who was manifested in the flesh. And you can understand what He was like. And to find out what that is, you have to study the pages of Scripture, and particularly the life of Christ. You have four Gospels that record what He is like, what He did, what He said, how He conducted Himself, how He lived. That's the standard. Walk in His steps. Be ye holy as I am holy means be like Jesus Christ. And though that is a missing emphasis in much of Christendom today, it is the emphasis of the Bible, and those who are truly God's children, having been regenerated by the Spirit of God, have been given a desire to please the Lord and an understanding of Scripture to show them how to do that, and a way of understanding something about the man Christ Jesus and what kind of man He was. And that's my pattern, that's my example, that's my goal. I want to be like Jesus. And to the extent that you are meeting this requirement found in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.